Hello, thank you for clicking play. If you're passionate about supporting small business, small creators, and are enjoying the podcast, I would love if you considered supporting me and the show via Patreon. You'll find the link in the show notes, where you can join us from as little as £3.50 a month. You'll be supporting the making of the show, enable me to keep the show ad-free, get behind-the-scenes content, blog posts, and lots more. Just click the link in the show notes to find out more. Now, on with the show. Hello and welcome to Independent Thinking, the podcast exploring a new era for the high street. We celebrate those who are doing wonderful, creative things in the most difficult of circumstances. We'll be going behind the scenes of businesses and shops you love that you look forward to visiting and that add joy to your high street. I'm your host, Alexandra. Welcome along. This week, we return to St. Stephen Street to stop by number 17 and to space at 17. We speak to founder Jess about bringing an idea to life, the role of pop-up spaces on our local high streets, and why they're so proud to play a part in other people's small business stories. Thank you for joining us today, Jess. Lovely to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, thank you. So to set the scene a little bit, it is a miserable day outside. It is, and we are cootied down, we are hunkered down, got the candles on, cup of tea, and ready to hear all about your journey, Jess. So tell us a bit more about how this began. So for people who aren't familiar with Space 17, it is a private hire concept, I think is what you kind of say it is. Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about how this began, because you've had such a pivotal role in so many brands that we've spoken to. Tell us a bit more how you started it.
Oh, thank you. So, yeah, so I kind of say that we're kind of a curated space where we can provide kind of a platform for small kind of independent businesses, creative individuals to kind of take what could either be like their first steps or the next steps in business in an actual physical space. So kind of like a blank canvas, but I always say to people, it's like I try to make it blank but not boring, so that people could come in. And essentially, we call them residencies, but kind of come in, do a pop-up with us for a short period of time, a longer period of time, and use that space for their business in that time. So, yeah, so I guess where it started, you know, it's funny because when you asked me to do this podcast, I've been listening to all the ones you've done, and they've just been so amazing. I've loved them.
Thank you.
It's so nice. Even the businesses that I think that I feel like I know well, I'm kind of learning so much about them as well, even, which is really interesting.
Oh, that's so cool.
So I've been listening to them, and there's been such good advice in there, you know, about the importance. I think it was Kat that was like the really big importance of having your business plan in place, ready to go. That is the fundamentals, which is brilliant advice. For anyone who is starting a business, listen to that. That is great advice. It isn't remotely how we did it. So our story is a little bit more kind of a rogue story to that. So the background is, by kind of trade, for want of a better word, I'm actually a midwife. Ah. I would say by day, by night, but kind of it was a bit of both. Yeah. So I, up until very recently, I was working kind of shift work in labor ward, and really haven't really had a background in kind of the creative world. It was very much, I've been a midwife for a few years now and absolutely love doing that. Probably always felt like there was a small kind of creative side of me that I've not quite kind of, it was a little bit untapped, if that makes sense. Yeah. I just always felt like there was something, I always wanted to do something for myself or do something a bit on the side and never really knew what that was going to be. And how the space came about is that myself and my husband used to live in the flat underneath the space. So there's a basement level flat. We lived there for a few years and the space was actually sat empty for quite some time. Well, that's not quite true. It wasn't fully empty, but it was kind of sat with, it was never open as a shop.
Okay.
More of kind of a storage space. There was nicks and knacks and things like that in it, that it was never actually a used space for the whole time we lived there. And it kind of became this space that when we'd had like one or two too many glasses of wine, we would talk about like, God, you know, if you could get your hands in that space, what would you do? Wouldn't it be amazing? And literally that was kind of how the idea was born. So we talked about it a lot, but very much in abstract terms. It was all very like, wouldn't that be great? But would that ever happen? And I remember being in the living room this one day, and I was downstairs and the space is directly above my living room. So I was home alone, heard footsteps upstairs, and I was like, there's someone in the space, there's someone up there. So kind of ran up my stairs, went in, and it kind of started this like catapult chain of events where all of a sudden this space was going to be available. And it was very much like, we know you live downstairs, you know, you've inquired about this before, kind of in loose terms. Mm-hmm. Yes, we could be in a position to take it, but you need to make a decision like right now, because we've already had like six people come in and inquire this morning.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So yeah. So I rang my husband, Jack, who is the other half of Space at 17. He's kind of like the hidden half of 17, because I tend to do all of the kind of upfront fun creative stuff, and he's more of like the sensible business head behind me. And I rang him and I said, so you know that space that we've kind of like talked about over a few glasses of wine quite a lot of times, and that idea? And he's like, yeah. And I said, well, it's available, but we need to go for it. Do you want to go for it? And there was like a brief pause, and I remember him being like, yeah, okay, let's just do it. As you do.
Brilliant.
So do you know, it's funny, because it was my birthday when we got the keys for it. So I remember we started to ring around our family that night, and we were like toasting the champagne, and we were like, hey, we're starting a business. And everyone was like, sorry, what's this news? Because it had just been something that had been so between us, and it really hadn't been like years in the pipe. You know, a lot of people do years of planning to then try and find the space. And I know how fortunate we were to be in a very different position to that. So the next thing we knew, we had the keys in our hands, and quite literally like 24 hours later, I've got photographs of us all in there. I mean, it was a full family and friends affair. We had everyone roped in. People were like peeling off bits of wallpaper, beers in hand, music playing. We had so much fun doing it. And then we kind of sat down and we were like, right, so this is all fun, stripping walls, but what's our plan here? And so getting to that point of having the space was all a bit of a whirlwind. And then we had to kind of stop and be like, right, so all of those ideas that we had on napkins when we were like sat drinking sparkling red at Smith & Gertrude, how do we make that an actual business? Because we're not just playing games here. Like, this is going to be the space. What do we want it to be?
Yeah.
So that's where it started. I then probably foolishly decided to design and project manage the space myself whilst working full-time shift work in labor.
Good world. Lord.
Which I don't know if I'd recommend that to anyone.
I mean, midwifery, not exactly, you know, I mean, it's pretty heavy going. I mean, it's like, yeah. Janet, it's like...
Yeah, wow. I mean, I think one born every minute's got a lot to answer for. People are kind of like, oh, you know, drink tea and eat cake. And certainly that's not my experience of labor world life. So I remember leaving shift. So I'd finish night shift, having worked for kind of like 12 and a half hours. I'd get home, I'd been awake forever. And I would go in and meet the contractors and like make big decisions about lighting and designs. And I'd go to bed and I'd wake up later and think, I have no idea what I told that person to do. Like, not a clue. Honestly. So it was a mental time. It really was. But then we got to a point where the space was finished, and that's kind of where the hard work really began, because that was such a big journey to get to that point.
Yeah.
This space that we'd envisioned for so long and talked about for so long, to then get it to turnkey, ready to go. Then it was like, right, this is actually the start. Yeah. This isn't the end of something. This is like just the start of something. Yeah. And that was really exciting.
That's such a lovely story. It feels like, it just feels like the stars have aligned, you know, that way. It's like I can imagine everything from hearing the footsteps to running up the stairs to it being your birthday to celebrating. It feels like it's in a film. Do you know? It's like,
I know. And it does. It sounds a bit like a lie, but it genuinely, all of that is how it happened. And we do think of it like that. Do you know, we regularly talk about like, God, you know, all the houses that we lost, and we should have gone, we were meant to have that flat, but we didn't get that. And we could always say like, but if we didn't end up living in that flat, we literally wouldn't be running this business now.
Yeah.
Because it was born from that space. The space is what created the idea of the business. The business didn't come first. And I love that, because it's what the space is all about. That sounds really cheesy, but it's true.
Mm-hmm. So you developed this idea. So when you were sort of inspired the space, think this could be not just one thing, this has the potential to house all these ideas, and it could be a retail space, it could be a meeting space, or people could dine in there. So yet that sort of evolved then slowly over time as you kind of
it did really. I mean, from early doors, I think probably our earliest conversations were supper clubs. Like, we went to we went to this amazing hole in the wall restaurant in Lisbon a few years back. Oh, wow. And it had like six seats and it was called Local. And it was an absolute, we walked past it, this little gem hidden hole in the wall with these pop-up chefs that rotate. And that was probably one of the things, thinking back, that really played into the initial ideas. Mm. So the idea of a supper club space, I really loved. Mm. But then it was like, once I'm quite like this in life, once I start with one idea, it can kind of spiral a little bit. Yeah. And it just kind of became, well, if it could be that, then maybe it could also be a shop for someone. And well, if it could be a shop, then it, why couldn't it be an event space? And if it could be that, then it could be, you know, it could kind of be anything. And it's something I still stand by now. Like I always say to people, don't come to me with, don't feel like you have to come to me when you're completely fully formed of this idea that your business is like ready to go. Like come to me and say, I've got this kind of weird idea. What do you think? Because I love that. I want the space to just be as much as it can be to as many people as possible, because that is the opportunities that I feel that, you know, and the more that there is, I don't want to say missing, but I think it's a gap that it fills. And I think that the more we speak to people about the opportunities to be in retail spaces and the more stories you hear from people who are trying to start their businesses, the harder and harder I know that it is. Mm. And, you know, we were already good friends at that point with quite a few other businesses on the street. And I know the battle that was involved in trying to get people to secure spaces. So I wanted to make that space kind of from the beginning. I was like, I want this to be as accessible to as many people as possible. So people don't feel daunted. They feel instantly at home there and they can just like turn the key and give their business a space and give it a go in like a really non-scary way, I hope. And sometimes I feel that looking for spaces is quite daunting and, you know, it can take a long time and it's so competitive and spaces, it's all like, who do you know who knows someone, and they go before you'd even, as is our example, hear footsteps, someone runs up and takes the place. And I just really wanted people to be able to calmly plan to be with us, know that they had the security of coming in at a set time, and then be able to be excited about that without much fear, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sort of they can dip their toe in as well. I think that's...
Yeah.
Because I think with pop-up shops as well, it's a really interesting idea, particularly when we think about the evolution of the high street, because it enables brands who sometimes only live online and, you know, to actually have a physical bricks and mortar space where people can connect with the brand in a different way to get to know the people behind it, but also let people try stuff out. Like I think, you know, and it might be that they think, oh, you know, I've got this idea, but I'd like to see what the appetite is for it, or do a bit of market research. I just think it's a really great idea for the future of our high streets in terms of how they evolve. I think, yeah, do you find that? Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think it's something when we started, maybe I thought people would come in and kind of, it would be a great way for people to run a shop or to run a pop-up, a supper club, sorry, or something along those lines. Mm. What has evolved in that is exactly what you're saying, which is that I now say to people, it's not just that. It's like, think of it as physical market research. You can actually lay eyes on your customers while they're laying eyes on your product. You can have the conversations with your customers about where you've come from, who you are, what the business means to you. And I think it's that tactile element of small business and those conversations that people just love. Mm-hmm. It's what keeps people going into physical spaces. It's why I think it will never die out, the retail, physical retail, because people want those conversations.
Yeah.
And people care about the people. And it's something that I love, is seeing how much people care about the stories behind brands that actually they've never heard of. Like, I think that's so cool that there could be a brand who's brand new in our space and people just go mad to hear the story of how it happened and what they're all about. And I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I think it feels like such a pertinent time to be talking about this connection with brands, where we've seen this week, you know, if you think about Arcadia, I think about kind of particularly, obviously very far removed from the shopping small, but I think one of the key things people have said about the brand and is that they felt very disconnected from it. I think from their customers, the customers didn't feel like they actually had a stake in it anymore. They didn't feel connected. And I think it's just becoming even more important that the brands that survive, the brands that kind of continue going, are the ones that make that effort and people actually feel invested in and they get to know, you know. I think that's really
lovely. I totally agree with that. And I think that was so evident in lockdown, where people, you know, people were having to shift their businesses so drastically because they might have been selling one thing and they were like, well, we just can't do that anymore. So like, what can we sell? And their customers were going, doesn't matter what you're selling, let me buy it because I want you to, I want to be able to see you on the other side of this. I need this small business to survive and I want it to survive. And I just thought that was amazing. There was already a real, a shift, I think, that was palpable towards shopping small and, you know, supporting local. But I think in lockdown, one good thing that really came out of such a difficult time is that I think the community rallied around the businesses here. That's certainly been my feeling on it. And it was really special to watch.
Yeah.
And it's why I think, I mean, and it's been an incredibly hard time and a lot of businesses haven't or aren't coming out the other side of it, which is really difficult and horrendously hard. But it's so nice to see the ones that are, that that everyone is still staying behind those businesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's testament to the work that people have been putting in and the yeah, that to build that sense of community and that loyalty I think people feel for brands as well.
Absolutely.
And so to touch just quickly, I guess, on lockdown, on this little thing that's been affecting all our lives, did lockdown have an impact on you and your planning for the space? You must have had people lined up or things that maybe depended on, you know, people being in the same room together, I'm guessing.
Yeah, ever so slightly, yeah. I can't sit here and say, you know, it's really difficult for us because everything had to change. The same thing was the case for absolutely every small business. Mm-hmm. It was just in very different ways. Mm-hmm. I think I became aware of it quite early on because I had a responsibility of the fact we had a resident in our space. So I was very aware that I wasn't my own. I wasn't a business in my own space trying to keep my doors open. I was responsible for a business in my space trying to do that, if that makes any sense. So I was thinking very early on, what is the responsible thing to do here? Is it responsible for me to say to our resident, you know, stay open as long as you can? Or do we need to come to a decision that it's the right time for you to close your doors? Or do you know? So I think in the street and in the area, we probably closed at the time that felt right for us. And that was a bit earlier than a few others. And it was a strange sensation at the time because I remember being on the street and it was this like weird, I don't want to say Armageddon because that sounds really dark, but it was this really weird thing where, do you know, where maybe it's appropriate for 2020, where you would kind of go to one of the other people on the street, one of the other business owners and be like, are you guys closing yet? No, we're going to try and stay. We're going to try and be here till the end. And like, are you closing yet? And it was just, it was a really weird time. So we shut our doors pretty much overnight. And went home and had a little cry about it.
Yeah.
And then was like, right, so what do we do now? Because we had a really busy, we had like a year completely fully booked. We had all these great, really diverse plans and we were so excited about them. And credit to all of our residents that we had lined up with us. Everyone kind of reached out and was like, we'll do whatever we can to still be in the space. Because that was my big worry was, how does retail look on the other side of this? You know, for all I've just said to you there, isn't it amazing that we've all bounced back? I did have that worry that was like, is that going to exist on the other side of this?
Yeah.
Are people going to feel safe in a physical space again? Mm. Is it what people want? Mm-hmm. Are we all going to end up online? It was a legitimate worry that I had. Mm. And I'm so relieved that that's not the case. And it was so nice that the residents that we had coming in with us, our future residents, were like, no, we want to still come in. Mm-hmm. Despite all of this craziness, whatever we can do. And sometimes some of those things just couldn't work out for one reason or another, but most of them really wanted to stay and do that. And that was really lovely. Mm. So things pivoted quite a lot, but to use that horrendous word. So we had some changes in our residence. We had a bit of a change in lineup. The wonderful Katie from Style Your Spaces has been with us twice now since we reopened. And one, at least the first one was on quite short notice, which I'm sure she would tell you, that we kind of sat together and we were like, you know, we have this availability now. Do you want to do it? And much like everything that Katie does in her business, she kind of went whole hog and was like, yeah, let's do this.
Amazing.
And turned up 5 days later with this incredible shop that looked as if it had been 3 years in the making.
Wow.
So our plans changed quite a lot, but really coming out the other side of it, it's so nice that we still have people inquiring about the space and people who still want to kind of be like, how can we do a supper club? How can we do an event in the future? Can we plan for 2021? And to see that optimism that people are thinking, well, no, actually, I still want to do this with my brand. And I still think this that a space is a way to do that is really nice.
Yeah, people are desperate. We're hungry to be back again with each other, aren't we? I just need that connection. Like you were saying, you know, earlier on, it's so important. And of course, you've had such a pivotal, like I mentioned earlier, you've had such a pivotal role in many of the people we've spoken to for this series, but also just across for other brands that people can look up as they're listening to. So tell us a few of the people who you've had in the space that you've kind of, yeah, helped give a physical space to, perhaps they hadn't had one before.
Yeah, I mean, that's really kind of you to say. I think that for me, it really is such an honour to be involved in the stories of all of those, the residents who've been through our doors. And anyone who has been in our space will tell you I'm totally soppy. And I really, you know, we've become really good friends with a lot of the residents who've been in our space. I really invest in the people who are in there. I want them to have the best time ever. So I care so much about where their business goes. So right back in January, we ran a competition at the end of last year, which now feels like a lifetime ago. We ran a competition with Meraki Concept Studio, who are an amazing creative team who work locally in Edinburgh. And we collaborated with them. We had this great idea where we were like, wouldn't it be cool to offer our space to someone who maybe isn't usually in a physical space, do a 1 week only thing, and where you put in an application, told us why you thought that would be a great thing for your business and a really good kind of platform for your business. And then they would be able to join us for a week for a residency, and then join Meraki Concept Studio to have their work, to have their branding done, and to focus on an element of their branding to kind of give it a breath of fresh air or a bit of a change, whatever they wanted to do. So we ran that competition and we were completely overwhelmed and delighted with all of the responses that we had. And it was so lovely to see people who wanted to be in the space. And in the end, we went with an amazing company who I'm sure you will have heard of, which is Our Lovely Goods. I'm saying you as in the listener. I know you have, because they've been mentioned on previous episodes as well.
Gorgeous stuff, yeah.
And they really are. They're doing incredible homeware, candles, skin range. It's just amazing what they do. So they came in, the most humble, lovely people you will ever meet in your life. They were delighted to be in the space and to have the chance to have won the competition. They came in January and we got to know them for that week. And it was so lovely to have them in Edinburgh because they're based in Aberdeen usually. And since then, they've just had an incredible year. I mean, they have been, I just keep seeing them in magazines and in awards and all of these amazing things, that they are just absolutely smashing it. And it's just been really nice to feel part of that story in some shape or form, because I just love watching where they've gone. And it's also lovely because I noticed recently that Treen has started stocking Our Lovely Goods, and I popped up to one of our other residents, Meander, have now got another pop-up space on George Street, which is lovely. And they're also stocking Our Lovely Goods. So it's nice because our residents have kind of become this little mini residence network that we kind of didn't really expect. We never planned for that to happen, but it's so nice that it has happened. We want to do like a residence alumni thing where we can get everyone together and kind of, because so many of them already know each other, but just to kind of reflect on, to create a bit of a community with the people who've come through our doors, we would love to do that. But yeah, I love watching where everyone goes. I have to remind myself that I'm not actually part of these people's businesses long term. But there's so many, do you know, God, Treen, I think it's easy to forget because they're doing so incredibly well, that they really only launched like last May in the space, and they have just gone strength to strength. I mean, they are absolutely crushing it. There is just no other way to describe it. And so it's so special to watch that. And I think for us, it's so nice to see people wanting to be on the street and having the opportunity to stay on the street. It's just great. It feels like this really lovely network around us. Treen has just been amazing. Obviously, as well, I know I've already spoken about Katie coming in with us from Style Your Spaces off the back of lockdown when we reopened, which was just lovely. It was like every time I met with Katie to talk about how the space might look, it was like the ideas were just massive. We've been talking for a long time about how a residency in the space could look for her, and pre-COVID, there was amazing plans for events and supper clubs and things, which will happen again in the future. I know that it will, and I really hope that it will. But Katie really transformed that space. I left her with the keys. And this is always my most fun part of the job. It's like I meet everyone, crack a dawn to give them the keys to the space. I go away and I come back and I'm like, oh, wow, it looks completely different. So, you know, like overnight the space is completely transformed, and Katie kind of transformed it into this green heaven of just like beauty. And yeah, I mean, she really has gone from strength to strength. For anyone who doesn't know Sell Your Spaces, where have you been? But she is just absolutely the most incredible. She's got the most amazing style. She's a stylist. She does wedding design. She does installations for businesses. She does a bit of everything. But this year has really kind of changed things around a little bit and gone more down the retail route to adapt to what has been a big change in the year with changes in weddings and all of that.
Yeah.
And Katie has really gone from strength to strength. There isn't anything that she doesn't put her heart and soul into that doesn't turn out looking beautiful. Mm. And I really think that she's an incredible business to keep an eye on. And I've loved being part of her journey. That's been a really special journey to be part of from our perspective.
Yeah.
At the moment, we're also super excited to have a brand new launching business in the space, which is just great. Gorgeous. So we are currently, our current resident is the lovely Atla, who so Kyra is showcasing incredible, fine, like sustainable jewelry. And it's just the most beautiful range you've ever seen. And I love it because it's like being back with a couple of our residents where we've been part of their launch story. This is what it's like again. So Kyra from day one was kind of like, right, here we go again. So the shop's opening, the website's opening, the stock is in, the space is being done up, and day one, let's go. And that was what Treen was like. So it's like a flashback to when Treen started us. Nice. It was like, I always joke that Treen wins the award for the quickest setup because I dropped the keys off, walked the dog, came back in, cat was steaming clothes, and I kid you not. And I was like, wow, long have I been on this walk?
Have I time traveled?
Yeah, literally. So the space has been absolutely transformed again by Atla, and Kyra's just done such an amazing job. She's worked with Splinter Design to make some beautiful units that just fit so perfectly in the space. And yeah, it looks entirely different all over again. And she's with us for quite a long time. We've got 6 months with Kyra in the space, which is really nice because it's long enough for her to feel like she's making it at home. And then in the background, we're talking to some other brands about kind of new launches and first times in spaces next year. So it's really nice because it's starting to feel again like coming out of the back of 2020, we've got new businesses coming to us and being like, right, I'm ready to make the next step or to start out, or which is really nice.
What a great thing for you and Jack to see, you know, a space become anew each time.
No, it really is. It is a really funny feeling, and it never gets old because like I'll often pop back along. And like I say, Jack is kind of behind the scenes. Jack works full time elsewhere as well. And so I'll come home and I'll be like, you'll never believe what the space looks like. And it blows my mind every time. And it's always beautiful. There is a running joke in our relationship that he's like, could you please stop putting in brands that you love so much because you just spend all of your money there? I'm like, no, this is why it works. But yeah, it is amazing. I guess it's a bit like, because I have such an emotional attachment to that space, and I really do, it's a bit like, I guess, if it's your favorite room in your home, that it's a blank canvas. If you came home every few weeks or every couple of months and someone had just made it look beautiful all over again, but differently, that's kind of how I feel, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, gorgeous.
And I love it. I love spending time in there when it's been changed around. And any of the people who've been in with us for residencies will tell you that I never leave. I end up just going in all the time and checking in and chatting and probably around far too often. One thing that's been really lovely for me to see, actually, and this isn't something that I ever really expected or maybe just didn't stop to think about, is that I always thought, you know, when these brands come in, we'll have people who come by, and also these brands will maybe bring their customers that, you know, and things like that. And you'll have passing trade because the street has this amazing passing trade and that feel to it, like we've spoken about. But one thing that's kind of evolved that I love is that when brands come in, they say to me, our residents will say, oh, it's been really nice because I've met so many of our online customers, or I've met people who follow our business. But there's also people who come in because they want to be like, oh, we wanted to see what's in the space now. So that's been really nice because there's been this kind of, for want of a better word, kind of a community creative people who are like following the heart of the pop-up, which I love because it goes back to that thing about that's what pop-ups are for. You know, people giving people a taste of different things, like people trying out new things, or people going in and being like, this isn't really the kind of place that I would necessarily normally find myself shopping in, but I'm going to see what's in the space. And that's really lovely. And that's something I think that, yeah, that's kind of at the heart of pop-ups, is that it's just, it's always changing and there's always something new going on and people get really excited by that. And it blows people's minds as well, because in the same way that I'm saying, God, it blows my mind to see the space transformed, people can't believe it when they leave, like they go to work one day and they come back and, you know, they might live on the third floor flat and they come back and the shop is a completely different shop. Like, it's just really, it's really not, quite a few people who live on the street have said that to us, like, oh, it's, you know, it's just cool having something that changes.
So you touched upon this feeling of community along St Stephen Street, and I mean, generally, I think in Edinburgh, a small business community. But tell us a little bit more about that space, because obviously it was important to you, special to you, to move there initially, but also to set up business there. So tell us a little bit more about that community on the street.
I think it's a really unusual street. I don't know if I've ever known anything like it or heard of anything like it. It is an absolute platform for small businesses, and it is the most supportive community you'll ever come across. Like, when we told people we were doing this, I remember being nervous because I was thinking, you know, we're bringing a real shift in things to the street. We're going to be bringing different things all the time. And are people going to like that? Are people going to like the fact that we're new and that we're bringing slightly different things? And people just loved it. Like, we couldn't have had more support from the community. And even just being able to knock on people's doors and get help with bits and pieces and advice from people. And it really is extremely special. Like, I always feel incredibly grateful and lucky that we're part of the St Stephen Street community. It is like nothing else. And I think for us, seeing some of our residents having the opportunity to stay on the street is just so exciting. So obviously at the minute we've got Treen and Style Your Spaces both on the street, which is absolutely lovely. But yeah, it just really is a special place that brings people from lots of different brings people for lots of different reasons. There's such a mix of things on that street, and I love that.
Yeah, it's got such a character to it. I think it's a really special,
it really has, hasn't it? I mean, we always talk, I've talked for a long time with Susie, who's the owner of Bell's Diner, on one of the absolute establishments of Edinburgh. If you haven't had a burger there yet, you have to go. And we talked a lot about how there used to be a St Stephen Street festival up until it was stopped by the council many moons ago. People used to be out on the street, there was bunting and all the shops would come out, there'd be stalls, there'd be drinks, there'd be live music. And I've always loved the idea of, at someday, if we could ever get council approval, maybe post-COVID world, of bringing that back. And I just think, if there was ever going to be a street that did that, of course it was St Stephen Street. It just makes total sense.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. What a fun idea.
It's great, isn't it?
If anyone's listening, please.
If anyone from the council is listening, please get in touch.
One aspect of the space we haven't spoken about yet, though, is about being used as an exhibition space, which I believe you had, was it early last year that you did that?
Yeah, absolutely. So it was a really, really exciting and very big deal for us. So back when we were quite new, I had sent out very early days, well, we were still stripping walls, I think, I started sending out kind of feelers to people. And these were to some of the businesses that we absolutely loved, that we were kind of like, we could just really see you in our space. And would you ever think about coming into our space? That kind of thing. And one of the people that I reached out to was Jono Smart, who is an incredibly talented, amazing potter. And this was a real Hail Mary. Like, I sent this message and I was like, I never get, like, he's in my eyes, I was like, he's a star. I'm not going to get a reply to that. But, you know, I'm going to go forth and be confident. And I got this lovely message back, early days, like I say, still renovating the space. And he was like, love the idea. Let's talk about it. And that idea evolved, and it kind of culminated last year in an exhibition, which was a combined exhibition called Studies. And it was Jono Smart, Emily Stephen, and Hayley McCurrick as well. So we had woodwork, amazing pottery, and stunning linen exhibition. This, if you want to talk about the space feeling transformed, that one literally blew me away. We had photographers coming in and people coming in and doing videos and things of the space that I just couldn't believe how the space, it's the first time we've seen it in a gallery style, and it was amazing. And I think for me, that was a real moment where I was like, wow, this is happening. Like, this is someone that I'd reached out to that I just thought, I didn't think that something like that would ever come from this space. And it really felt like that was a huge achievement for us that week. And it was something really special. That's 1 week that will really, really kind of live on. I was going to say my heart. That sounds really, really soppy. I told you I was soppy.
I love it.
But it really will. And, you know, but then going back to the thing about me spending too much, I was like, I really need this. We need to remember this. So I was like, we bought this piece and that piece. And I remember sending Jono a message afterwards and sending him a picture of a few bits being like, basically recreated a miniature studies in my living room. Does this look a bit creepy? Yeah, like we've had, you know, I could go on forever about the brands that we've had in. Like, it's just, the space has been so many different things to so many different people. And I've loved it.
Oh, it that warmth for the people that you've worked with, though, really comes across. And the warmth you have for the space and the street and the community that you're part of is so evident when you speak, which is, it's just lovely. It's just, there's just so much warmth I feel within that business community.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to describe it, actually. I think there is a warmth around the street and a warmth around the business community in general. Do you know, so when we started, so many people reached out to us with advice and help, and not just on the street but wider, you know, further afield as well. And everyone just wants to help everyone, because you forget when you're starting that everyone started somewhere. And I think that's the thing, is that you look at all of these people who've got amazing shops and spaces, and you think, God, like when you've got an idea, you think, how would I ever do that?
Yeah.
And I think that the lovely thing is that all of this community will reach out and go, well, I thought that. Like, I'm a person who had an idea and worked hard and made this. And learning that everyone's got such different paths to how they got to there as well is really nice.
Yeah.
And so I always say to people, don't feel like you have to come to me with this like polished idea of exactly how things are going to be. It's like, talk to me about an idea, because God, if anyone's going to get that, it's me, who like had put an idea on a napkin and lived under a space and then went for it. So like, I think that's been a really nice thing about the community, definitely.
Yeah, and it's that, again, I think this is where all the best ideas come from, are from conversation and somebody bouncing ideas off somebody else. Or I just think that's where, sparks start flying. You think, oh, that could be created, or we could create this, or that could be a thing. And
absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your own shopping habits then. Who do you like to shop with, apart from all your beautiful, you know, people who you've got in the space? Who do you love to shop with across Edinburgh or in the small business world?
Yeah, I think I've probably made it quite clear that my shopping habits are bad. They're actually probably worse than I realised talking about them now. I like to tell myself I'm just supporting local and supporting my
absolutely.
Maybe it's worse than I realise. do you know, where do you even start with a list like this? There's just so many people who are doing such incredible things. Doorstep wise, obviously all of the brands I've already mentioned. Since Stephen Street, I couldn't even narrow it down. Everyone on that street, I love crossing the doors of every single space for a number of different reasons. Do you know, in terms of people that have like adapted, the little chart room has been a huge one to watch for us. Like what they've done with a little chart room on the prom, just amazing.
Yeah.
Like, and I love that about Edinburgh. We're all like, it's December. Sure, we'd love to be outside eating food. That's the most 2020 thing, isn't it? Like, let's stand outside, because we all really want to do that. And they've really helped bring people back together for food and stuff at a time when it's so hard for these places to be open. They've really adapted in the best way for them.
Yeah.
Another person in terms of food who has just absolutely smashed it in my eyes in lockdown is Groats. So
they were another one of yours, weren't they?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Groats was our first ever resident, and again, always holds such lovely memories for us, because they were, when we opened our doors, with Groats, and they became such a big part of our space at the time. It really felt like their home when we were opened with them. They have just done so well in lockdown. They don't have a physical space. They're doing all takeaway orders. I mean, porridge takeaway, it's just, people are going wild for it. Like, every time I try to get on to get food, I'm like, oh, sold out.
Oh my God.
And they must be so busy, but it's just incredible, and their food is absolutely next level. It really is. Ola's cooking is something pretty special. If you've not had Ola's porridge before, it isn't porridge, is all I say to people. It's incredible. Another kind of, I guess, kind of foodie drink side of things, the Spry are just, I think, are doing so well. We are huge fans, as is everyone around the Dorset, of Smith and Gertrude. We go around there all the time when they're open, always seen with a glass of sparkling red in hand. Absolutely love it.
Sparkling red's a new one on me. I haven't had. That sounds great. Goodness.
Once you start, you won't go back. It is literally sparkling red wine is absolutely where it's at.
Wow.
Yeah, so good. So we spent so much time around the doors there. So last year when Spry opened and there was a kind of a little bit further away from us home-wise, but New Kid on the Block with wine, we tried out there as well. And they are just, they're so good what they're doing in there. Mm. And, do you know, I think the thing for them is that they're young, they're new, do you know, they've just turned a year old, and so much of their business time has been during this crazy time, and that, you know, they're just adapting as much as they can and selling amazing, like if you need to go and have a glass of wine and one of their amazing dumplings to take away and like have a glass of wine as you go out the door, and that's so nice, and they're so knowledgeable about their wine, and so they're definitely someone that I think, you know, good for them, because what a difficult year to be in your first year of business, and I think they're coming out of it really strong.
Yeah, absolutely. If you can weather this, I mean, you can weather anything. Absolutely. You know, can survive.
I mean, we're all just trying to get by, aren't we? So well done, everyone. I'd say.
Oh, too right. And if it can be with a glass of wine in hand, all the better. So, in terms of thinking about your future, then for the business, you've got We know that Atlas is going to be there for the next 6 months, but can you give us any tasters, not naming no names if you don't want to, of people who we can look forward to for next year or anything you've got planned?
Huge fingers crossed. Supper clubs are going to be back with a bang next year. Food will hopefully be a big part again of what we do, which again, some really exciting bits and pieces planned on that front. Can't wait. Greenery. Again, slightly different greenery. Food, drink, greenery. Some very lovely smells will be in that space. And some slightly sweeter things too. So, I mean, that gives away absolutely nothing. Nice. So that doesn't really answer your question anyway, does it? But
no, but I love it. But like, so it's a mix of retail, a mix of supper clubs when we can get back together again.
I think 2021, wonderful. We definitely want to get back to kind of showcasing the off the back of this year is kind of be like, right, let's just do, if we're allowed to start doing these things again, let's do them all. Like, if you've got an idea, come to me about it, because let's do as big a mix as we can to be when we're able to, which I really hope that's what next year is going to look like for us, because there's some exciting things in the pipeline that I can't wait for.
That's so exciting. And I definitely can't wait to stop by and see what's next for you. It's fantastic. And so just to finish up then, I guess, have you got any reflections on, you know, starting the business and since, and your time with Space at 17, and how has it been any different to how you thought when you first began? Has there been any surprises? Is there any advice you'd give to anybody who also has their eye on a space maybe and thinking, oh, maybe one day? What would you think?
I think my advice would be, if it feels scary, that's not a bad thing. Trust your gut. A lot of our decisions are made on gut instinct, rightly or wrongly. But I really believe that in business, if you're going to go for it, your gut instinct and the way that you feel about a decision will carry you a long way in that. If it feels right, it probably is. I think now probably feels like a scary time to start a business. I don't know if there ever isn't a scary time actually to start your own business. We went kind of, we dove head in, head first. And I think probably I didn't come up for air to realize how scary it was. I think that was the thing for me. I was juggling full-time work as a midwife with that at the time. And I probably didn't let myself stop to think about how crazy it was. But I think, If you have a feeling that you need to try something, if something feels right, go for it. Find yourself a team who will help you get there. I mean, we have had every man and their dog helping us. Our friends, like I say, it's been a full friends and family affair. I'll never be allowed to forget my mum and dad painting, hand painting part of the, you know, painting the floor in the space and everything like that.
Wow.
And find a network that will help you through it, because it's hard work, but have a goal and then just go for it. Because if you don't do it, then someone else might in another way, and you'll probably always wish that you had.
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful place to end on. Like, I think going with your gut in anywhere, be it in business or in life, I think is an excellent motto to live by. Mm. So, yeah, thank you very much.
It's only how I try to get by anyway.
Thank you so much, Jess.
Thank you so much, Alexandra. And thanks for having me on. It's been really lovely to chat to you about it all.
If you've enjoyed today's episode, please consider rating the show, writing a review, or telling a friend. It really helps us to be discovered by other like-minded listeners. You can also follow us on Instagram at Independent Thinking Podcast, where you can get sneak peeks of our next guest. This series, we're focusing on businesses based in and around Edinburgh, with future series focusing on other towns and cities across the country. If you know of an independent business that we ought to know about and other people deserve to know about too, then let us know. Bye for now. Thank you for listening. I really hope you enjoyed the episode. If you did and you want to support me to continue to make the show, I would love it if you became a patron by clicking the link in the show notes. From as little as the price of a coffee a month, you'll receive behind the scenes content, blog posts and lots more. Click the link in the show notes to find out more or head to patreon.com/independentthinking. Bye for now.